So, first of all, tell me a little bit about your background, where you're from. How did you wind up here?
I'm from Huntsville, Alabama, originally. I moved down here with my brother. He was starting to study at Shelton State, and I just wanted to be a little closer to him. He wanted to start a band and get a music scene going in Tuscaloosa, and convinced me that that was a good idea.
So what year was that?
2010.
And now you have this job with Green Bar.
Yeah.
How did you wind up there?
Well, I booked house shows for a long time, the Baby House, and then I got involved with booking a small music festival called Lady Fest. A group of women on campus were putting that on, and through that I met B.B. Barefoot, who was married to Bill Lloyd, the owner of Green Bar, and she told me that the Green Bar was opening. It used to be Little Willie's, and they were searching for a new event coordinator to start booking new entertainment there.
And so, it seemed like a good fit for you? I mean,
at the time I was really enjoying booking shows. It was a decent job, and I was excited about the prospect to actually be booking bands in a legitimate venue instead of having the police shut down the shows every other time. It seemed like a win-win.
Did that happen pretty often, though? Like, I mean, I can imagine with house shows, they usually get shut down.
Yeah, you know, Tuscaloosa is kind of different in that house shows are almost sanctioned here with all the Greek organizations. You know, like, it just happens at kegs and bands. Like, it's expected. So we really never got into any trouble for it. And these days when we have house shows, they almost never get broken down because we're smarter about it. But in the old days, yeah, I did.
Did you have any sort of relationship with those Greek parties at all? Did you ever book any house shows for them?
No, I've never had any tie to any Greek organization, which I'm kind of paying for now, I guess. But I don't think I've ever even been to a fraternity house or a sorority house on campus.
How do you mean you're paying for it now?
Because I just don't have much awareness of that group of people that constitute such a large part of the university here in Tuscaloosa. And so, like, I'm having to really, when I started working here, I felt like I really understood what was happening in the underground and really had my finger on the pulse. And now I'm actually having to kind of play the role of, like, the old man trying to figure out what the new students are listening to. Because, you know, I'm in touch with the punk rock kids, but, the Greeks, I'm having to learn how to reach them and learn what they listen to.
Is there any sort of Greek customer base or population at Green Bar that you've noticed? I mean, I'm sure that at some point Greeks come into your bar, but do you notice it specifically when you're there?
Oh, it's incredibly noticeable because they when they come out, it's almost like an organized force. You know, we had one article in the Odyssey a while ago when I think American Aquarium was playing, and there was literally a sentence in the article that said, "I'll see you all there." And it was almost a planned initiative. You get there and just it's wall-to-wall Greeks. In terms of regular clientele, not really. No. Not many of our regulars belong to Greeks. But if we have the right band, and if it hits the organizations and they're aware of it, then they'll come out in force.
So that seems like it would make your job a little more complicated in that you're obviously there to book unique, original, local, and regional artists, you know, that people may or may not be aware of. And you guys do such a great job of promoting them and giving them exposure, where other bars, especially in town, wouldn't, because they rely on, to be frank, like what usually sells, right? Like cover bands and that kind of thing. Seeing Greeks or any other group that come in like that and will definitely come out for a certain thing, does that ever influence you to book differently, or do you usually stick to what you're doing in terms of the local and regional thing?
I kind of a little of column A, a little of column B. Like, I dearly, if this is going to work, I want it to work as an original music venue. Like, I want it to feature new original entertainment. I don't want to focus on covers. But at the same time, I think I can do that and still appeal to Greek society or what popular tastes in Tuscaloosa. Like, as far as my own personal taste, I love no wave music, and I love punk and country and things that are not going to sell in this town. And so I kind of try to find, like, some middle line of music that is exciting and original, but will also sell in Tuscaloosa.
What do you think recently? I mean, you can name specific bands if you want to, but what has been working at Green Bar when you do apply that philosophy with those kinds of bands that you just mentioned?
A lot of Americana and soul really seems to be in vogue right now. I mean, people just seem to almost eat soul up. We had a band called De Robert and the Half-Truths that had never played in Tuscaloosa before. We still got a decent crowd out for it because it just sounded like an old Stax recording that they were doing. If any band, like the biggest tell sign, has a history of playing the Greek market, like if they played fraternity house gigs, if they played at the booth and drawn, you know, umpteen hundred people, then you know there's a market there for them in Tuscaloosa. And so that's usually what I look out for, is that history. And it's honestly, like, pretty diverse. Like, you really can't, like, I can't pigeonhole that sector of people. Like, we have a bluegrass band and a funk band coming through, and a, like, just one of those weird MGMT-style electro heavy with emotion acts coming through. Yeah, I can't say there's really any specific genre that seems to stand out as working more than any other these days, except for soul and Americana.
Yeah, so groups like St. Paul and Broken Bones, that should do pretty well.
No.
Surprisingly, it seems like they would have.
Yeah, it did. I've spent a long time puzzling through why. I mean, we had 90 people out for that, but it really needed to be 150 people to be a success. That took place on the weekend that all the students were in between leases. A lot of people were out of town, and we were completely missing, like, any kind of Greek student contingent at the bar. Like, I look around and see kind of, like, older members of the alt community in town. We had plenty of them, but almost no students were there for that show. I think part of that was the date that was taking place. And part of that, too, is although St. Paul is, like, new and exciting and was generating some Twitter buzz among some Greek members on Twitter, we didn't really have a band on that bill with real student cachet or a real proven student cachet. Yeah. It was also the first show I've ever done with advanced ticketing, and I really didn't know how to deliver that or get people to purchase tickets in advance, and I'm still having a hard time with that. So
you guys didn't seem, it didn't seem like y'all slowed down really during the summertime. It seemed like every weekend you had something going on. You had three nights, like Thursday through Saturday, there was usually one or multiple bands playing each night, and they're all different. You rarely have repeat groups from week to week.
Yeah.
But it seems like that would be such a huge challenge for somebody like you in a venue like yours, especially during the summertime when the student population has just dwindled so much. I mean, it seems like, talking to like a promoter or somebody, you know, an event coordinator, it seems like it would be a struggle to put as much effort in the summertime when students aren't there. Mm. As you would in the fall and spring when they are.
Well, it is. It is a struggle. And there's always this period, like every summertime, where I just get fed up with it. Like, I don't want to sweat for this anymore. But if there's no show, I mean, Green Bar has a small crowd of regulars, but not a big crowd of regulars. If there's no show, then our bartenders aren't able to pay their bills and not getting tips. So you can do surprisingly well in the summer. Like, it's not easy. Football season is easy. Like, it's pretty easy to put something on a Friday before game day and have it pack out. Summertime is not nearly so easy. It's a uphill battle all the way. But it can work. Like, we've actually had Red Clay Revival play, like, the last Saturday of spring break when there were no students in town. And we packed it out just because it was sort of the only game in town that night. And that's I guess, part of my goal with any Green Bar show is I want it to be the best thing in town that night. Like, I want everyone who sees it to say that was definitely the best band playing in Tuscaloosa. I'm glad I went. I mean, this is an uphill battle, but you can't let up. You can't lose that momentum, or people just forget about the bar and forget what's going on and fall out of the mix.
I feel like several bars have, like, these identities that, you know, people associate with them. You can go to one place, you know exactly what you're going to get. Mm. I think that with Green Bar, I think live local music is something that people obviously associate with. But do you think that Green Bar at this point has a specific identity that you have helped establish up to this point? What do you think the bar's identity is right now?
That's a good question. I'd say if you were just to take, like, a wide survey of just a slice of the music that's happening in a month, you're going to see Americana, soul, hip-hop, a little bit of funk. Maybe some stuff a little further out. You'll probably see some surf here and there, just because that's a big part of my history, and so I like to fall back on it. But I'd say that's, like, Americana, soul, hip-hop is probably, like, our foundation right now, as our identity goes.
Yeah.
And I guess Americana, that includes, like, Lee Baines and American Aquarium, and then, you know, Soul, St. Paul, Alabama Shakes, Day Robert and the Half-Truths, and hip hop. You know, you got Shaheed and DJ Supreme and Pals. Just trying to try and get some of the G Side crew back here this fall. They have a big project. I don't know how you say it. ST Two Lettas. Street to Lettas. Straight to Lettas. I don't know the significance of ST yet. I'll find out.
Have you found that artists, obviously, these folks keep coming back, like the Lee Baines and American Aquarium, they've played there multiple times. No, Lee Baines is coming back this fall.
Yeah.
Have you found that artists are really buying into what you guys are doing right now?
It depends. A lot of people are... A lot of times it depends on how the show goes. If it's a dead night and somebody's really going to want to come back. I think our bartenders almost every band that comes through loves our bartenders because they have a sincere affection for the music and they want to take care of the band and they want the band to have a great time. America Aquarium, I think, keeps coming back because we've just given them the best shows they had in Tuscaloosa. I think they played a few other places and they didn't have quite so good of a turnout, and we really pushed the promotion, really got some people in there. Lee has a long history in Tuscaloosa. He's always going to want to come back here, and I think Green Bar is just the only bar of its type that can give his band the money they need to keep coming back. So I think that's why he keeps coming through. I don't know, I usually try and like establish rapport with anyone comes with any band that comes through. I try and be at the bar and talk to them and find out what their history is and where they're coming from. And so just try to make as many bonds as possible.
And speaking of like the soul stuff that you mentioned, and Americana kind of works into it a little bit. You mentioned the Alabama Shakes, and they've played your menu for a couple times, right?
Yeah, a couple times.
So you guys, I think, were right there in terms of like when they launched, and you were had sort of like a front row seat for that. What was that like? I mean, this band played your venue, and it seemed like almost the next week they just blow up and they become a national thing. So did you feel like you guys were a part of that?
I think the pieces were in place before we picked them up. Actually, even the first time I booked them, I didn't have them headlining. I had them playing second. And it totally threw me by surprise because you just had like nearly 100 people coming out for the Shakes. And then almost everybody leaves by the final band, which is Shannon and the Clams, who are phenomenal. No, I don't think we really had any part to play in the Alabama Shakes coming up. I think that was already in place.
Yeah. But I mean, just to kind of like see it for yourself, and the fact that you booked this band before they became what they became. And I mean, they were doing what they were doing even as they were, you know, getting as famous as they were.
Yeah.
What does that mean to you, like as a promoter and as somebody who books events like that? I mean, to be on top of it. How important is that to you?
It's really vindicating. Is probably a good word for it. Yeah. I mean, it's really rewarding. I mean, when you catch someone like right at that cusp time where they're going to do really well, but they're not too big for the bar, and it's still taking some people by surprise. You know, that's a really good feeling. Like to feel like I'm really on top of what's happening in music. And then to bring something cool, like a bad show is a terrible, terrible feeling. But a great show that's packed out is wonderful.
Yeah. You know? Did you ever feel any pressure to do it again? Like to find a band like that who might be on the cusp? Or do you just kind of keep doing what you're doing?
Oh, no, there is definitely definitely pressure to find that next band. Yep. No, I mean, I'm always trying to. Like, that's why we had St. Paul play twice. You know, that's why we got American Aquarium in there. I'm always looking for that next, like, who's really catching the interest of people who's going to pack it out. That's the pursuit.
You mentioned that you play music, right?
Yeah.
You have a kind of like a punk, and you mentioned surf background. Like,
when
you're booking these bands, you obviously have your personal preferences, but is it a challenge for you to think outside of your own personal preferences and book for what you think will work, even if it's not necessarily something that you would personally enjoy? Or is there always sort of that small percentage of yourself saying, well, no, I'm going to book what I want to hear in my venue?
No, I kind of had to get over myself a couple years ago in that regard. Initially, when I started working there, I really wanted to be like a punk rock and roll venue because that was all I was booking. And that worked a while, but it's you know, the beer's not cheap enough for the punks. You know, it's just not. It's not dirty enough. There's toilet paper in the bathroom. It doesn't work. I actually booked what became like, we've actually circled back and we do have some punk shows now and again, but I do try and hold to my guns because I feel like if you worry too much about what's going to play over with like the wider audience, then you start losing that edge and you start putting on things that just kind of sound like everything else, like a pale imitation of what's popular.
Yeah.
So it's important to hold to what you yourself can perceive as quality, but without getting lost in just, oh, I want to see this, I want to see what everyone else does. Like, I really try and look at music from the perspective of what the Mumford & Sons fan is going to think of this. Will they like this? Will this be exciting to them? Or will it be completely redundant to them?
And do you think as a musician too, when you're booking shows, when you're booking acts with other acts, obviously you have to know like which act is going to work well with, which genres are going to sort of gel together on a certain night? How as a musician, and like how has having a musical background helped you in doing this?
You can kind of see like some genres that you wouldn't expect go together at a lot of different venues. Like, punk and country kind of have a long history together. Like, a lot of punk fans like country. You know, G.G. Allin loved Hank Williams. Todd Snyder used to play a bunch of punk clubs. And although it's a little beside the point, I mean, CBGB's used to be country bluegrass blues before it became a punk venue. You know, hip-hop, I mean, even a lot of people booking tours for popular hip-hop acts like Yellow Wolf or when G-Side was touring G-Side, like, Warner Brothers would pick, like, indie booking agents to try and get these hip-hop acts into, like, indie, hipster, whatever word you want to use that doesn't really mean anything, clubs, and pair them with, you know, indie bands. And that always seems to go well. Like, the kids that are going to go out and listen to MGMT are also really going to, I don't know, Chief Kleef or whatever, whoever. As a musician, I know the sort of camaraderie that develops between bands who, like, tour together and play together. And I always try and play to that. Like, if I know two bands know each other and will go well together on the same bill, I'll book them because that'll make, like, their night a little happier.
You grew up in Huntsville, yeah. You said, right? So, how does a young Huntsville kid get into punk and that kind of genre growing up? Like, what was your household like, and how did that influence you to get into music, first of all, and then the kind of music that you started playing and listening to?
Yeah. My dad's kind of a jazz nerd. My mom really likes Lou Reed, Dave Bowie, and Captain Beefheart. My brother really was a catalyst. He's younger than me, but he learned to play guitar, and he would show me all sorts of things. I mean, honestly, more than just being in Huntsville or anything, it's just that Napster was coming up around the time I was 13, and, you know, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater has Ramones on the soundtrack, and that's... But Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, I'm not going to lie, is my introduction to punk rock. That is it. And then Napster fleshed that out. I really didn't do too much music-wise when I lived in Huntsville. That wasn't until I moved to Tuscaloosa. I've only been playing music for about 3 years.
What do you play?
Guitar, bass, piano. This is my first. I played organ in the surf band.
What surf band?
Piss Shivers.
Yeah, okay. So who are you playing with now? Anyone?
There's a Tuscaloosa Monorail is a public access show. Yeah. For their Halloween episode, they put together a band to do the soundtrack, kind of Goblin's-esque. So I'm part of that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Tuscaloosa Monorail, you guys are partners with them.
Yeah.
That they film the show from Green Bar, and live performances take place at Green Bar. Tuscaloosa Monorail is one of those things that is so unique that it hasn't really been done in Tuscaloosa before.
Yeah.
It's completely new. The way they do it is very new, especially with that very sort of Adult Swim influence that they seem to have. It seems kind of exciting that, you know, you could be a part of that. I mean, is it exciting to you that, you know, that you're involved with a project like that?
Very much so. I mean, I feel like that's one of the great things about Tuscaloosa is almost anything you do in this town seems, whether it is or not, like, what's the term, without precedent. Yeah, so it's wonderful because if you take something like this and it comes out in New York and nobody cares, but put it on Tuscaloosa and everybody's really excited about it, talking about it. No, I'm really pleased to be working with them and hanging out with them. And I like what they're doing. I like the attitude of it. It is kind of an Adult Swim thing. Like, you can't tell if they're full of shit or not. You know?
Yeah, I think it's great. I think those guys do a great job production-wise. Yeah. Like I said, it's unique the way they film it. The actual, like, video film stock that they use is just so grainy.
Yeah,
obviously deliberately cheap-looking, but it works. It totally works. And again, it's like something that I can't recall in my lifetime seeing Tuscaloosa do before. So it obviously makes sense that Green Bar would be a part of it, because these are bands that play Green Bar, and it's such a heavy focus on local.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've talked about, obviously, the heavy focus on local that you guys have, and you and I have talked briefly about this 205 night at Green Bar, which is no longer happening
right
at the moment. Did it start during the summertime?
Yes.
Okay, so starting during the summertime, we've already talked about how light the crowds can be during the summertime and how frustrating that can be.
Mm.
Talk about what the sort of the genesis of 205 night, what you wanted that to be specifically. I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory, but why it doesn't exist anymore.
Well, initially, and part of the reason it didn't work out is we created it on a two-week timeline. Like, we had something on Tuesdays, this older bunch of people playing blues who decided to move to another bar where they had more of an older crowd and more of their friends came out. And Ward, one of our bartenders, you know, came to me and said, we really need something on Tuesdays now, because if we don't have that tip money, I'm going to have to get another job, and I don't want to do that. And so we came up with 205 Music Night, both as a way to, there's only so many days you can book a band in a month, and there are just tons and tons and tons of bands and a lot of people really don't get their time in the sunshine. So this was just like engineering a set-aside date to help 205 bands get their time in the sun. Mm-hmm. And also provide kind of an outlet for me to show more like the punk and surf music that I really like. That was really the long and short of it.
Yeah, it doesn't exist anymore.
Okay, quite frankly, you know, I will wax poetic on why I love Tuscaloosa day and night, and why I think this is a fabulous music scene in its own way. But at the end of the day, there's not a lot of new bands here, and a lot of the new bands here, people aren't aware of. Like, I'll see a new band in town that's pretty tight, and they've got an audience base of 10 people, half of which are their boyfriends or girlfriends. And there's tons of bands percolating in Birmingham right now. It's a staggering number. It's really exciting in Birmingham. There's shows every night of the week, but fans of those bands don't really exist in Tuscaloosa. So I couldn't really get any fresh bands that had crowds to play Tuesday nights. You get like a new band and they're all 21 or 22 and they can bring all their friends out just as they're their friends and they can pack the bar out, and that's how that works sometimes. But if you have a band and they're 19, which is really where a lot of the younger exciting bands are coming from, because music is, it's a lot of the best music made by young people. Like Outkast started when they were in high school, Violent Femmes started in high school. But they can't bring their friends out to the bar. It's a bar. It's not going to work. We can't make any money out of it. It's just going to raise our bartender's need to police, which, they have enough on their plates already. They don't need to do that. A lot of the more veteran bands who did have followings did not want to play on a Tuesday night. They wanted a Friday or a Saturday. I think starting it with just a two-week promotional span in the beginning of the summertime definitely hurt, because I was just like scrambling to book a band and scrambling to promote it and scrambling to book the net promote the next Tuesday, and it didn't really get any groundswell beneath it. We had kind of the same 12 people coming out every Tuesday.
Yeah. Well, it seems like regardless of if you have to like name a Tuesday night or a specific night, 205 music night, if that doesn't necessarily work, it seems like what you're doing Thursday through Saturday anyway, you're booking enough local bands and you're promoting enough of these 205 bands to justify it anyway. You know what I mean? Like, even if it doesn't work as a specific night, you're already doing it anyway. So it's like, it's not like it's not working because it's local music night.
Yeah.
Because the local music that you do book on the weekends tends to work.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? When it's promoted well and people are in town and want to see them.
Totally, totally. Well-promoted bands that people are aware of, or if you can take a band that people are really aware of and put an up-and-comer in front of them so people get to see them, that really worked. But just taking these bands that no one had heard of yet, that didn't really have followings, and putting them on a Tuesday, I wasn't able to shake that out.
Yeah. You just said that you could wax poetic about why you love Tuscaloosa so much and why you love the Tuscaloosa music scene. I mean, please do that for a moment and talk about why you do love it and why you're still here and why you keep doing what you're doing.
Okay.
Because I think a lot of people would ask why. You mentioned that Birmingham has such a large budding scene that's pretty active. They would ask, why don't you just go to Birmingham? Why don't you just go to this other city where the music scene is established? Why do you spend so much of your time and work so hard on establishing one in Tuscaloosa?
I've heard it said that Tuscaloosa is the land without irony. It's totally sincere here. If there is good music, people like the band for that band. They don't like that band for how it stands in relation to something else. Like, is this some caustic or ironic statement about something else? Is this band making fun of the modern soul movement? No, they like the music for the music. And in that sense, too, like, rock and roll still lives on in Tuscaloosa. Like, the Woggles still draw in Tuscaloosa. They're just a straightforward, honest-to-God rock and roll band, here to rock and roll, here to do a great live show. And I feel like if the Woggles went and played, like Oakland, California, they probably would not catch anyone's eye because they're just not hip. They're not ironic. They're not distant. They're very sincere about rock and roll. And I thought that resonates with Tuscaloosa. Like, there's just a really straightforward appeal here. No one's trying to impress anybody with liking music that's more obscure than someone else's tastes. So I guess I respond to the sincere affection Tuscaloosa has for music. And also, in that sort of atmosphere, it really gives rise to people being able to experiment openly with all kinds of forms of music without feeling any kind of a pressure to follow in some kind of local industry or local scene. Like, no one feels the need to become big in this scene because there's not one. And no one feels the need to try and play music of the sort that might get them picked up by a label because there's no industry watching. So you have the freedom to do whatever you want. Like, Electric Moon is sort of Tuscaloosa's Deep Purple. And I don't think any band's going to come out in Williamsburg sounds like Deep Purple. Mm-hmm. You know, that's very distinct to Tuscaloosa.
So you sort of ever into experiment, too,
with
what you're doing.
Yeah, totally.
Do you find yourself coming up with new ideas lately on how you can experiment, especially with students coming back in town, or do you feel like it might be better to sort of play it safe and just do, like, from a business standpoint, what makes sense? Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, we talked about the identity of Green Park.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's still establishing an identity.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, yeah, do you find yourself wanting to experiment more than now that more people are in town?
I'll say, yeah, I'm definitely taking bigger risks now that people are in town, but every risk I take is informed. It's not an experiment. It's not a shot in the dark. Like, I'm really, like, we have Seven Handle Circus playing this Friday, and they're a bluegrass band. It's really tight, and they have a history of playing the Green Market. And they've never played Green Bar before. You know, it's a risk. We've never tried it. I think it's one of the first bluegrass bands we've had outside of Dog Box String Band, which is local. So it's a risk and an experiment in its own way, but it's absolutely informed by what I think will work.
So something I've noticed, and I think it's pretty evident, is that Green Bar and Egan's bring in similar clientele. You guys sometimes book the same bands, some of the same kind of bands. I didn't know if you guys had any sort of relationship, you with any of the folks at Egan's. I mean, is there any sort of like dialogue about like how you guys fit into promoting local music?
That's an interesting question. I think there's kind of an awareness. I think when we were first starting, there was almost like a mistrust on behalf of a lot of the Egan's crowd. It seemed like a new venue kind of trying to do some of the similar thing. I think our bartenders especially really want Green Bar to be a service industry bar. And I think to the largest sense, they're succeeding in that. Egan's has been home for a long time it's almost a catch-all, because for the longest time it was the only bar doing that. And now we're the only bar doing that, the only other bar doing that. So it kind of makes sense that we're catching a large part of the same group. And in terms of who I socialize with, I mean, I know a lot of Egan's regulars. I've gone there a lot over the years. I've gotten thrown out of there before I had a functional ID, you know. I've played there plenty of times. We were showing movies. What was that one? Patrick's Roadhouse. We showed Roadhouse, and all the Egan's bouncers came out. It was kind of funny. There's not a whole lot of back-and-forth dialogue between the bars. Our bartender, Rochelle, used to bartend at Egan's, and their bartender, Billa, used to bartend here, and before that she bartended at Egan's beforehand, I think. I don't know if there's much, I don't know if we necessarily talk about it. I don't really sit down with Adam Pate, but I book bands at Egan's sometimes if it's like a Monday or a Tuesday and it seems like the bill would do better there and I can't book it at Green Bar. And I've been promoting acts actually like side by side. Like if we have a jam band at Green Bar on a Friday, I'm book via Adam Pate a punk or garage band at Egan's and just do both because the crowds won't conflict.
Do you want to talk about things happening this fall that people can look forward to at Green Bar?
September 20th, we got Lee Baines coming back through, American Aquarium, Flow Tribe. Those are all pretty big. I'm trying to get Adron back, which is a big, she's sort of does Tropicália. So it's like a Brazilian thing that came about in the 60s. And she really, that was one case where there's been a couple times where we've booked a band that's never played in Tuscaloosa before, hardly ever played in Alabama before. And just by word of mouth, the music being just so fucking good, people have come out. And that was, if you want to talk about risk, that was a risky show, because I don't think, you know, the majority of Tuscaloosa has ever heard the phrase Tropicalismo before, or have ever heard of Adron. I don't think there's any other bands that sounded like that. Mm-hmm. But the music resonated and worked.
Right.
We're trying to get her back in November. You know, the Bohannons are opening for Lee Baines. I've got Future Birds on September 26th. I think this is the strongest game day schedule I've ever had. I worked pretty hard at it. Superwater Sympathy is coming up from New Orleans. They haven't played Tuscaloosa yet, but if you Google them online, they're building up some hype around the nation. I think they'll do well, especially with like the same crowd who likes Organic Androids locally. I think will really like Superwater Sympathy.
Gotcha. Awesome. That's it, man.
Okay.
Thank you so much
for doing
this. This is awesome.